I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague, Evan Ellis, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. This is a New World Report and our last broadcast together in the calendar year 2024, looking to 2025 for success and worry. I'm going to choose one state first, Professor. That's Mexico. Why? Because the violence is unacceptable. I'm not going to expand from there. I understand trade. I understand cross-border issues. I understand migration. I understand all that. But the violence, Professor, it's not worthy of a modern state. It's savage. We now have a drug lord who's being given from the U.S. into Mexico. And my first thought when I read the item was, I wonder if they'll let him go. It's unacceptable what goes on in Mexico, and I puzzle why the U.S. continues to tolerate it. We're ready to challenge them on immigration. We're ready to challenge Mexico City on finances, but why not the violence?
Well, John, as you point out, the deportation of Osiel Cardenas of the Gulf Clan is a reminder of the continuing problems with violence and drugs that exist in Mexico. And certainly as we look to the coming year, we can anticipate that even as President-elect Trump is already threatened to impose significant tariffs on Mexico if it doesn't get the immigration and drug flows under control. You have a series of other issues with respect to China's increased investments in Mexico as well, and some of the concern that that's providing a backdoor for Chinese products to get into the United States under the USMCA agreement, as well as a number of other frustrations with the very, very important relationship. I think clearly as we look towards the coming year, in addition to where the U.S.-Mexico relationship goes, given how vital our economies and geographies are intertwined, by trade, by USMCA, by security issues, by migration. There are questions of whether we'll continue to see the consolidation of dictatorships in places like Venezuela or Nicaragua, or whether the pushback with President Trump and people like Marco Rubio and Mike Waltz at NSC change the posture to some degree. To what degree will we see U.S. reactions to the disintegration of democracy and political conditions in places like Bolivia and Honduras? This year also, we're going to have a number of relatively important elections. In Ecuador, we're going to have an election on February 9th between the continuation of a relatively pro-business government of Daniel Noboa, one of increasingly one of the important friends for the United States and South America, versus Luisa Gonzalez, who is seen as a stand-in for the previous anti-U.S. populist, Rafael Correa. So that will determine a lot where Ecuador goes, even as leftists continue to gain the upper hand to Ecuador's neighbor, Colombia, as well as the continued issues with instability in Peru with the government there. And then we've talked about Bolivia and the question of where Bolivia goes in its August 2025 national elections. And then after that, another leftist government, which has been teetering towards greater anti-U.S. policy, the Honduran government of Xiomara Castro and her Libre Party is going to be up for election in November. And so there's going to be an interesting interface between the direction of democracy, the direction of insecurity, the interface with the Trump administration. And by the way, important, likely coming advances with China, as we've already seen in the China-Brazil relationship, the China-Peru relationship that we saw manifested at APEC with the opening of the port of Chancay, the China-Mexico relationship, and how the Trump administration, as well as the Sheinbaum administration, reacts to that. And if that weren't enough, also, depending on what happens with Russia in Ukraine, the prospects of will Russia be able to re-engage with partners such as Brazil and those who have traditionally also been its threat hosts against the United States in the region, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, among others. And so will we be talking about Russia's activities in the region, as well as other actors such as Iran? So it is shaping up to be a very eventful and very important year for this region, with which we are intimately connected by geography and commerce and family. And so it's going to be possibly a wild ride for the Western Hemisphere, John.
You've spoken well of Paraguay in the recent past. I note an item that is suggestive that Paraguay is out of step with its left-of-center neighbors. Paraguay opens Israel embassy in Jerusalem after moving it from Tel Aviv. What about Paraguay? It's a small state. What are we looking for?
John, Paraguay is probably one of the underrated upcoming stars of the hemisphere, and I think there's prospects for a much stronger relationship with the United States and the Trump administration with Santiago Peña's government. Paraguay is a place where you have good economic opportunity, you've had political stability, you have relatively low energy prices, you have agricultural potential. It's central to the rest of the region. You have a long-running party, the Colorado Party, that despite the concerns about the corruption and institutional strength has, again, from a business standpoint, been a relatively strong performer. Paraguay also strategically is important as the only country and the biggest country that continues to recognize Taiwan and not the PRC. And despite Chinese pressure on Paraguay's agricultural sector, the Santiago Peña government continues to stick faithfully with Taiwan. And so strategically, from a business standpoint and in a lot of different ways, I think there is room for Paraguay's star to rise, especially with the incoming Trump administration and conservative Latin America focus. Thinkers like Marco Rubio and Mike Waltz, who I think can see that strategic value and from a business standpoint to look for ways to increase our engagement with that country.
In 2022 and 2023, there was a series of elections throughout the Americas. And I came to understand that there was a left of center bias. In fact, I think Reuters invented the term pink tie. Has that been reversed or is that still in place?
It's still in place, John, but there's some important things that could happen. And so we mentioned before you have the election in Ecuador, which will be an important choice, whether the center-right government of Daniel Noboa survives. The questions in Bolivia and Honduras, which also will have elections, although there's no clear prospect of the right necessarily returning there. But when we look at last year's elections, just to kind of remind ourselves a little bit, you had the election initially in El Salvador, which appeared to be a security-oriented consolidation of power by Nayib Bukele in his right regime. You had Panama, which was the selection of a fundamentally right centrist government of Jose Raul Moreno. You had the Dominican Republic with President Abinader, again, relatively pro-U.S. Government there. But on the other hand, as the year got more deeply, you had the consolidation of power of a relatively anti-U.S.
30 seconds, Professor. Go ahead.
An increasingly authoritarian Morena party in Mexico, of course, Venezuela, and the consolidation, the stealing of the elections there on July 28th, and the return of the left-center coalition, the Frente Amplio, in Uruguay in the elections most recently with the selection of Yamandu Orsi. And so right now it's a mixed picture, but it's a mixed picture of governance of a region which is, frankly, deeply in crisis and whose crisis and in political conditions strategically affects the United States, not only because we are tied to the region through commerce and other bonds, but because that is the region in which also through globalization, rivals of the United States, such as China, operate or can operate.
Professor Avenales.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.